HD3 Millville.
Get ready to vote on Tuesday. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. That tweet from President Trump ahead of a pair of runoff races in Georgia that will determine control of the U.S. Senate. On Monday, the president will hold a rally in Dalton, Georgia, for Republican incumbents Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. Perdue, who is quarantining after being exposed to someone who tested positive for the coronavirus, was on Fox and Friends.
We're going to get this vote out. Republicans are notorious for voting on Election Day, and we've already had over 3 million people vote so far in early voting and absentee voting.
President-elect Joe Biden will campaign Monday in Atlanta for Democrats John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. Funeral services will be held today for Luke Letlow, the congressman-elect from Louisiana, who died this week from coronavirus complications at the age of 41. Governor John Bel Edwards has said flags will fly at half staff today. Virus relief checks in the amount of $600 are being mailed out to millions of Americans. Yesterday, Senate Republican leaders continued to block a vote on raising the amount to $2,000.
The president surprised many people right before Christmas when he supported increased payments. He blasted Republicans on Twitter yesterday, calling them pathetic. Meanwhile, one of his closest allies in the Senate defended the idea, Senator Lindsey Graham, writing, "Going from $600 to $2,000 doesn't make you a socialist. Mr. President, keep fighting for the American people who are suffering."
That's Fox's Mark Meredith in Washington. Iran is stirring the pot, accusing Israel of trying to provoke a war by planning attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq. That's according to Reuters. Citing Iranian intelligence, Iran's foreign minister warned President Trump in a tweet of what he calls a trap. Mohammad Javad Zarif says any fireworks will backfire badly. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Breezy and warmer this afternoon, high 59. Increasing cloudiness tonight, low 35. Cooler with rain tomorrow, high 48. Cloudy with rain and drizzle tomorrow night, low 36. Mainly cloudy on Monday, high 46. I'm AccuWeather's Jonathan Reed on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
The following program is paid for and presented by John DeMasi. The opinions expressed are not those of Town Square Media or station advertisers.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 presents Talk with a Purpose. Join the conversation by calling 407-1450. Now, the host of Talk with a Purpose, John DeMasi.
Good morning. Hour number three, Talk with a Purpose, every Saturday, 9 till noon, WPG, Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station. Good to have you with us. And as we continue our series, Fighting the Opioid Addiction, it's a new year, but unfortunately, the problem is still there, and we will discuss that throughout the course of this hour. Dr. Denny Carice is our guest. She is the Chief Scientific Officer at Recovery Centers of America. They've been our partner now. We are beginning our fifth year of doing this series here on the show, and we enjoy doing it, but unfortunately, we still need to do it because the problem is still there. Dr. Denny, good morning. Welcome to the show, and Happy New Year.
Good morning, John. Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah. I guess it's a sad state of affairs. I was watching the news, and they were doing a story on, well, you know, we've been talking about COVID-19 the whole year, but the opioid crisis continues. And and we'll talk about this in this hour, it's actually gotten worse because of the pandemic in large part.
Absolutely. It's gotten significantly worse, both in terms of overdose and in terms of people who once had recovery relapsing and people who used to use casually, using very heavily. It's all gotten quite worse.
Yeah. Let's talk about you and specifically your title as the Chief Scientific Officer at Recovery Centers of America. Can you tell us what that means?
Yeah, so I set the science for the company. I keep abreast of the science of what works, what doesn't work, what's new, what's needed, who's coming into treatment nationally and locally, what their needs are, and then filter that down through our operations group who implements the changes that we need to make to stay on top of things that are going on, whether it's medication that's gotten more, backing scientifically, or whether it's information on the pandemic and how that's affecting people and what we can do for that. So That's what I do.
Mentioning as we started off, it was a tough year last year for everybody, and we talked about the addiction issue getting worse. Being that you're the chief scientific officer, you got anything new planned for the new year? I guess something more potent, more powerful. What's the plans for the new year?
Well, I would love to have, you know, a fix. You know, everybody wants, you know, cure or whatnot, and the, you know, we continue to strive for that. But for the new year, some of the new things we're planning is to make treatment more available to more people. So this year we opened new campuses in Indianapolis and in Pittsburgh. And when we opened, generally a detox in residential or inpatient and outpatient and alumni services and family services. We really, these are big campuses basically for health. You might see a couple new ones next year, maybe in Texas and the Houston area and Chicago area. So that's pretty exciting for us. We have a new chief clinical officer, Dr. Carrie King, and she's doing some really interesting work and developing some different protocols, developing intensive outpatient and outpatient protocols that are going to be done virtually. So we're doing a really virtual suite. We're providing services virtually now, and we have been since the pandemic started, but we're adding all kinds of video and interactive things and whatnot to make it more interesting. So that's another piece too. One very cool thing happening right here in the Maze Landing, the Lighthouse site, is this new WorkFlex program, which I think is really quite amazing. There tends to be a feeling that when people come into treatment, they have to focus on just that and nothing else, and they can't be distracted. And I actually don't believe in that. I believe people need to have some continuity. I mean, there's people that will not come to treatment if they can't stay in touch at work or attend, you know, a board meeting virtually or whatnot. So there's a new WorkFlex program being implemented at Lighthouse where people that, you know, show their need to work, that show they can do it remotely, can have 3 days each day of the week, Monday through Friday, to work. And their treatment is developed around that. And that may sound kind of simple to people, but it's a really big departure from what treatment usually does.
Talk about this work and, you know, working and treatment. The consensus has generally been, and you don't believe that, and I don't believe it, but that gets in the way. You can't work because you're not right yet. So how does that, I'm kind of trying to understand that. How does that work?
Yeah. So, you know, again, it's always been held that people have to focus just on their recovery. And I think, you know, maybe that's a holdover from, you know, decades ago when people only went to treatment when they had lost everything. You know, we get people into treatment much more quickly now, so that somebody who's a lawyer or, you know, whatever you do for a living, you know, you maybe haven't lost that yet, right? So one of the things in our culture is that people's identity is very tied into what they do for a living, almost, you know, to a negative extent. So for a lot of people, who they are is what they do. And when somebody has a substance use disorder and they're willing to say, you know, I get it. I have this illness. I can't take care of it on myself. I need help. As embarrassed as I am, I need to go, you know, away somewhere and get some help. You know, that's a huge step, and that's a huge loss, turning over kind of that control. Then we tell them, oh, you can't call your family for 5 days. You can't be in touch with work. You're here just for this. We basically take everything away from them, you know? And so I, you know, feel that that's not right. Yeah. So it's a lot of work for a treatment program, because when somebody works a few hours, that adds different difficulties. They may have reactions to different things. Sometimes it may make them want to go back to work because they feel like something's falling apart or whatnot. But you just deal with that in therapy. So the way we're doing it at Lighthouse is that they can either work in the morning, they can work 10:45 to 1:45. Or they could work 3:15 to 6:15. Their meals are brought to them while they're doing that. You know, we issue them their computer or their cell phone. Then we collect it afterwards, and then we run their major groups and whatnot around those hours for them. I mean, I think it's a very progressive idea, and I can't wait to see how it works out.
That sounds fascinating. So are they doing this from your location? They're, in other words, they're working at home. Only home is where they are with you. Is that how it works?
Exactly right. So they're at Lighthouse. They're given a specific, there are specific rooms we set aside for this. They go into the room, they get their laptop and their phone. They work from there, and we collect that at the end of the work hours, and they are in group all around those different hours.
All right, our guest is Dr. Denny Carice. She is the Chief Scientific Officer at Recovery Centers of America. We are continuing our series here in 2021, Fighting the Opioid Addiction. And if you have a question for Dr. Denny, we have some open lines right now, 609-407-1450. We'll give out the 1-800-RECOVERY number many times during the course of the show, and we'll talk about that particular aspect as well. 609-407-1450, that's our number here in the studio. Dr. Denny, I understand that you recently conducted a workshop, and it's called the RCA Academy.
Yes.
RCA didn't open up a school. This is within RCA. So explain what that is.
Sure. So RCA Academy started at the tail end of last year, I believe. And what it is basically, you know, we believe that part of our obligation being in this field is to help create a trained workforce. Everybody that's in this field that has a license or has a certain degrees has to get these continuing education credits. And in addition to that, people who don't have those degrees need to keep learning and to learn more things. So we feel like it's almost, you know, a responsibility to be able to provide training and whatnot for that. So this is just not for RCA employees. This is for anybody who wants to attend, and it's free. So we're trying to help improve the workforce that's out there and create a really trained workforce and help people have the credits they need for the credentialing boards and the one of them is called NADAC, another is NBCC, which are all these approved continuing education providers. So, again, importantly, it's all free, and it's the workshops, which we do. We do anywhere from 3, 4 to 6, 7 of them in a month, and they're on all different topics. I can talk to you about some of them if you'd like and the different things that we present on. They're usually a one to a three-hour workshop, and we get anywhere from 500 to 1,000 people attend.
So all of these are geared to people who work in this field and to help them improve their work skills. Right? That's the bottom line, correct?
Absolutely, yep. And to help them meet the requirements for their certifications as drug and alcohol counselors and things like that.
Well, give us the, you know, I know that, that you do a lot of them, so obviously we don't have time to go through all of them. But give us like the number one workshop that you can think of.
Number one, we recently did a workshop. Sorry about that. My dog's barking. We recently did a workshop on ethics, which is a requirement for people to have those workshops. And that was really well attended. But we've also done them on attention deficit in substance use disorder, on family problems, on co-occurring disorders, on trauma. So there's all different topics. And then we also I tend to ask when I'm doing mine, like, you know, what would you like to hear about? So we tend to make things basically just on what people want to hear about, you know?
For 2021, new year, and I asked you if you're coming up with anything new. Obviously, these this academy is leading to, I guess, some changes. So with that in mind, new treatment protocols for 2021, are you developing them now? Do you have some already in place or what?
Well, we have a number of them already in place, but a lot of them revolve around additional training for staff and additional types of evidence-based practices. So, and then some of them revolve around what patients need, like the WorkFlex program that Lighthouse is doing. Again, we're doing the virtual care that we've been doing since the pandemic started. We've been doing intensive outpatient. We even do all day, which is called partial hospitalization, which is like, you know, 10 to 3, you know, and it's all online. It's very tough to keep people's attention that way. So we've started developing all different videos and all different components and all based on evidence-based practices so that it's a little bit more like a you know, like a YouTube kind of or Netflix, you know, for recovery, so to speak. So, so that's going really well. And, you know, a lot more training on trauma, a lot more focus on people who have been in recovery but have relapsed significantly and need treatment, because with the pandemic, people are relapsing, particularly people with less than 1 year in recovery. There's increased number of relapses with that group. So one of the things we've always done, which I think is great, is that when somebody's had some recovery before and had treatment before, we don't put them in with everybody else and have them learn the same basics that everybody learns the first time they come in. We put them in a special track called the PRIZE program, and that allows them to use what they've known before, what they've done, their skills from being in recovery before, without having them listen to the same basic things that they've heard in treatment in the past.
New Year's resolution. Did you make any yet?
You know, it's interesting. So New Year's resolution, I did make one, and that was to learn one new song on the piano each month.
Okay.
I also know none now. So that's going to be, you know, that'll be good. I played when I was in high school, and when I sit down to play now, I'm so frustrated by how, you know, a piece like Bohemian Rhapsody that I used to knock off in high school wildly, you know, and play with abandon. It takes me hours to learn the first page, and it's so frustrating, but I've decided to do it. And, you know, one thing about New Year's resolutions this year that was really stunning to me is that on average, and again, everybody does all different studies, but somewhere between 35 and 50% of people make resolutions. That's the average up until this year. This year, the studies are showing that 85 to 97% of people have made resolutions. That's an amazing jump, you know? So it's very interesting.
Can you play Three Blind Mice? That's an easy one. I used to take piano, so that was an easy song for me.
No, but I think I can do chopsticks.
Okay. All right. I'm leading up to the resolution that maybe some people have made, and I think the pandemic had a lot to do with that increase in percentages, that this year people have made a resolution to do their best to recover from drugs or alcohol. And you yourself, and you've often mentioned this, you've been, I mean, sober for what, 20-some years? But you always say you're in recovery. So what led you, and I say this because of a resolution, what led you to seek help when you actually decided to do that?
Yeah, well, actually it was 1984, and I had, you know, what happened for me, it's so interesting because there were pivotal moments where I did not decide to get help. Like I had a small stroke from doing drugs. I had, you know, number of things. And then what it was for me was just, I knew I couldn't achieve anything while I was doing drugs, that my life was out of control, that I, you know, I couldn't stay in school. I couldn't keep an apartment for a year. I couldn't, you know, keep a job for any length of time. So I knew, and I knew it was because of the drugs. So what happened was that I thought, okay, I'm just going to quit. My drug of choice, you know, it was the 1980s. My drug of choice was cocaine. And I said, okay, you know, this is a big problem for me. I'm going to quit doing cocaine, right? So I quit once, and I quit for like 30 days, and then I used it, and I quit for once I quit for about 6 months and some, or 60 days, sorry, and somebody offered me some, and I thought, well, I can't have a problem with this. I haven't done it for 60 days. If I have a problem, that would mean I couldn't do that, right?
Right.
So I took a little, and then I was just back kind of, as they say, off the races. So at some point I said, you know what? I can't quit on my own. I'm going to go get some help. And that's how it happened for me.
And you got the help, and here you are, what is it, 36 years now?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
35, I think, yeah. I haven't, you know, it's important to me. I always say this. I haven't done it perfectly, you know. I was, for whatever reason, I was on a plane, you know, 7 years into it and had a drink in first class. I think it was the first, I was young. I think it was the first time I got bumped into first class, you know. And I don't know why. But, you know, the reason I talk about that, I've had a few instances of that, you know, where I just, something happened. I had a drink. And I say that because I want people to know, you know, you don't lose everything when you have a recurrence of your disorder. We call it relapse, but it's really a recurrence of an active disorder, you know, and you don't lose everything. You know, I lose my right to say I've been sober for 35 years because the way, you know, in the recovery community, what that means is you haven't had a drink or a drug for that length of time. But I don't lose the fact that I've been in recovery for 35 years, you know, and I want people to know that because sometimes people have a little relapse and they basically think, oh, I'm going to lose everything anyway. I might as well throw it all away and just, you know, go out there and use everything.
Okay, we're coming up on a break. Dr. Denny Carice is our guest. She is the Chief Scientific Officer for Recovery Centers of America. It's our Fighting the Opioid Addiction series. And if you have a question for Dr. Denny, maybe you made the resolution that you want to get clean in the new year and you need some help. Well, if you want to call Dr. Denny right now, she's happy to talk to you. 609-407-1450 is our number here in the studio. 609-407-1450. With Dr. Denny Carice, I'm your host, John DeMasi. We return more of our Fighting the Opioid Addiction series on Talk with a Purpose after these words.
Since Recovery Centers of America opened its campuses on the main line of Philadelphia and in southern New Jersey years ago, they have been offering a new approach, local addiction treatment led by an expert, caring team of professionals. Over time, Recovery Centers of America has helped thousands and leads the way in innovative, exceptional patient care for all adults, as well as customized programs for older adults, patients with trauma, patients experiencing a relapse, and more. In addition to evidence-based addiction treatment, RCA offers a holistic approach through art, music, and family therapies, all in a beautiful setting that allows for healing and recovery. Recovery Centers of America is in network with insurance providers, so their best in-class inpatient and outpatient care is affordable. RCA answers the phone and admits patients 24/7, 365, even during the holidays. All admitted patients and staff are routinely tested for COVID-19. Call now at 1-888-RECOVERY. That's 1-888-RECOVERY.
If you're interested in driving one of the finest automobiles on the market today, then you'll want to check out all of the fabulous new and pre-owned Lexus at Lexus of Atlantic City. Lexus of Atlantic City, 3169 Fire Road and EHT. Driving a Lexus is like no other vehicle on the market. Test drive one for yourself at Lexus of Atlantic City. Whether it's new or pre-owned, you'll be more than satisfied. In fact, Lexus is consistently number one when it comes to customer satisfaction. Visit Lexus of Atlantic City, 3169 Fire Road and EHT. Or you can check out their outstanding selection of new, pre-owned, and L-certified pre-owned vehicles on their website, LexusOfAtlanticCity.com. That's LexusOfAtlanticCity.com. Or, if you want more information, call 609-641-0008. Lexus of Atlantic City, now celebrating their 26th year in the area. A dealership that you'll enjoy. No pressure, no gimmicks, no hassle, no hype. Lexus of Atlantic City, 3169 Fire Road and EHT. And remember, always online at LexusOfAtlanticCity.com.
When it comes to you and your family's financial wellness, there are so many things to talk about. We could go on forever. To help guide you along the way, Joe Yakovich has written a book called The Heart of Your Money, Inspiration for Financial Wellness. In the book, Joe talks about longevity, inflation, retirement surprises, and many other topics. For your free copy of The Heart of Your Money, call the office of Joe Yakovich at JML Financial at 856-751-1771 or email Joe at jyakovich@brokersifs.com. And you can listen to Joe Yakovich on Talk with a Purpose, heard Saturdays here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM. For over 37 years, Joe Yakovich has been helping families throughout the area navigate the difficulties of a sound financial plan. You'll find Joe's approach to be different, and not just the cookie-cutter methods that are prevalent in today's world. The path to your financial wellness and or retirement starts with a call to Joe Yakovich at JML Financial Group, 856-751-1771. 856-751-1771. Or email Joe at jyakovich@brokersifs.com.
Joe Yakovich is registered with and securities and investment advisory services are offered through Brokers International Financial Services, LLC, member SIPC. Brokers International Financial Services, LLC is not an affiliated company.
Back here on our Fighting the Opioid Addiction series with Recovery Centers of America, here's a number I suggest you write down. And if you know someone who's made a resolution or you want to suggest they make a resolution to get clean in the new year, 1-800-RECOVERY is the number. That is a 24/7 hotline. 1-800-RECOVERY. 1-800-RECOVERY is the number. And that is Recovery Centers of America. Like I said, that's a 24/7 hotline. You can call that at any time, and I suggest you do, especially if you want more information. 1-800-RECOVERY, 1-800-RECOVERY. And, of course, our number here in the studio is 609-407-1450. If you have a question for Dr. Denny Carice, she is the Chief Scientific Officer for Recovery Centers of America. And, Dr. Denny, every time we do this segment, we talk about the RCA motto of breaking the mold. As far as treatment is concerned, you talked a little bit earlier about the new idea of combining work while you're in treatment. Can you talk about what else RCA has done to break the mold?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few things. One of the first things we did, which was at the time unheard of in the field, is that we stopped scheduling admissions and saying, okay, you know, you can come in at 5 o'clock. I mean, we may still, you know, estimate, you know, come on in at 5 o'clock. You know, we hope that happens, but the reality is most people don't come in for at the time of their appointment. So we do admissions to our residential, whether it's detox or residential care, 24/7. So, that was a big deal for us. We started it with Lighthouse, our site that's in New Jersey, which you may know. It's the only site that was kind of up and running as a treatment program. Every other one we've built from the ground up and hired staff, and we hire them with this knowledge. So in particular, transitioning, especially back in 2016, you know, transitioning the first group of nurses and staff to say, no, we're not going to turn them away if they come at midnight or 2 a.m. We're going to take them in. So one of the first and biggest things, I think, was 24/7, every single day of the year, we admit patients. And that was really unheard of. Some of the other things we did was that we really worked very hard to be in network with almost all the major insurers and almost every possible insurer. And the reason that's important is because, you know, at this field, really, when places open up and they want to make money, they do all out of network billing, which is really terrible for the patient because they end up going home and they've got, you know, these balance bills from what the out of network costs weren't covered. So when you're in network, you get less money and you get less per day, but it's better for the patient. And also more people may come to you because you're in network. So in a field of predominantly out-of-network providers, we were what's called in-network. Another thing we did was that we build these campuses of care. So there's all these breakpoints in treatment, and there doesn't have to be, but there are where people say, oh, now you're done with us here. Here's three places where you could go to get outpatient care. And the person, you know, is given some phone numbers. Maybe they're even given a first appointment. But their likelihood of continuing their care, which is hugely important in terms of recovery, is that if they're going to a new place, they have to start over. Nobody knows them. They've never been there. They're much less likely to show up. In fact, about 50% of people don't show up for their first outpatient appointment. So
yeah, it's too easy, right? It's too easy to break that momentum that you have, right?
Absolutely right. But if you know that somebody that was in your group, an inpatient, is going to be in your outpatient, they're like, oh, I'll see you next week. Or you know that your therapist could check and see that you showed up and that they're going to call you if you don't. And you've been in the building before and you know people, then it's just much more natural for somebody to come. That's why we've always been very much against what we call the flyaway model, you know, where people fly away to treatment for 30 days or whatnot, and then they fly home. And they've lost all of the connections they made. The therapeutic alliance with the people that helped them is gone. And they have the highest likelihood of not doing well. So,
yeah. And you mentioned that this out of network. I mean, and we have to be honest here. I mean, you need the insurance because the treatment is not cheap. OK, so if you get a bill for whatever you get a bill for after you're out and you're trying to recover, then you have another thing to recover from, financial issues.
That's absolutely right. And it's not uncommon that people from treatment programs would get balance bills of in the tens of thousands of dollars, predominantly for drug screens. It's absolutely abhorrent, you know. And so if you're out of network, you can bill whatever you bill. So let's say you bill $2,000 a day and your insurance says, okay, we think the usual fee for that should be $1,200. Because it's out of network, we'll pay half of it. We'll pay $600. Now you're going to get billed for $1,400 additional a day that your insurance didn't cover. We don't want people to have to worry about that. They come in, they have a deductible, they may have a copay, but they know exactly what it is coming in. We actually, another way we broke the mold too, is we actually offer interest-free funding called something, there's something called FinPay, where somebody says, you know, my deductible is $5,000. I can't do that all at one time. We'll let them spread out that payment with no interest whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, I should mention, Dr. Denny, having the benefit of visiting all of the locations for RCA in this area, I did meet there's a department that all they do is deal with insurance issues for patients. And
yep.
I heard that they're pretty tough on the insurance companies. So, and I remember saying when I got the tour in Devon, I said, good for you guys. I mean, it's about time somebody took on the insurance company. So you do everything you can to help people, especially if they have insurance issues. So I think that's important for people to know, don't you?
I think it's very important. I mean, the insurance company, you know, the way they make their money is not through paying for all the care everybody wants. And they put up very sometimes inappropriate guidelines around what, you know, means that somebody needs continuing care. So if somebody's in our treatment center for 10 days and they're doing much better and their depression's lifted and they're detoxed and everything seems fine, they're going to argue with us that, you know, they don't need another day. They don't need. And sometimes we're literally on the phone with them fighting for one more day every single day. When you have 1,000 patients in treatment across the system, you know, that's a lot of people making a lot of calls. Now, some insurance companies will approve us and pay, you know, they'll approve us for 14 days when somebody comes in. Some will approve for 5. Some will approve one day at a time. Some will approve 3 days at a time, you know. So you need a team of people who knows how to make the case for this person and why they do need residential if they do. So it's a whole separate side of the system that people don't really, you know how much work and how much personnel is needed to do that, to get the insurance benefits that people have already paid for.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And I guess this is a good time for me to ask you, in terms of days for treatment, now we all hear 28 days, but in your experience as a chief scientific officer, what's kind of the norm? Is 28 days the norm, or is everybody different and it depends on the situation?
Well, you know, I'll tell you the truth. Everybody is different and it does depend on the situation, but the 28 days and even today, you know, the average days of stay are very heavily dependent on what the insurance will cover. So where somebody might benefit from a longer stay, if the insurance company, despite all of our efforts, you know, won't cover it, then we've got to move on and do something different, you know. So the 28 days came from when insurance companies used to blanket agree to 28 days of care. And that was a long time ago. And we still thrive for, I mean, it's a good idea, depending upon the person, if they're very entrenched in their addiction, to get them kind of focusing on just their recovery, learning about the addiction and whatnot. And you know, a month is a good chunk of time to be able to kind of see all the different aspects, particularly, you know, 60% of people coming in have a psychiatric comorbid disorder. So you've got to treat that at the same time. You can't treat one and not the other, ever. So you want to get all those things under control. Insurance, on the other hand, I think insurance averages, you know, maybe 21 days right now or 23 days right now. So,
you know, it's interesting. Insurance companies are not doctors. And you're a doctor, but if you tried to get into insurance, they tell you, hey, get lost. You're not in the insurance business. but they can be doctors. I've always found that, you know, like the way they control, you know, people's medical treatment, it really bothers me.
It is very bothersome. You've got people that may not know much about the disorder. You've got people that are not doctors, not nurses. You know, one of the things we do routinely, particularly if we're still, somebody still really needs the inpatient care, and we've got a clerk on the other end of the line denying that, we will bump it up, and then we'll bump it up, and then you do what you eventually end up with asking their doctor to talk to our doctor. And they don't really love to do that because their doctor's very busy, you know. I mean, they might have one doctor, you know, that they can call on to do that. But, you know, you just got to keep pushing and bumping it up for the benefit of the patient, you know.
Okay, we're coming up on a break. We have some more time to talk with Dr. Denny Caris, Chief Scientific Officer for Recovery Centers of America. It's our Fighting the Opioid Addiction series. It's a new year, and maybe you've made a resolution to have a new you to recover from whatever your addiction happens to be. This is the time to call in. 609-407-1450 is our number. 609-407-1450. Our Fighting the Opioid Addiction series with our partners, Recovery Centers of America. Dr. Denny Caris is our guest. With Dr. Denny, I'm your host, John DeMasi. We return more with Dr. Denny after these words.
They were voted best of the press again. And when it comes to mom, of course, she deserves the best. BF Mazzia, with the finest fresh fruit and produce you'll find anywhere, features gift baskets, fruit baskets, and if mom likes to cook, there are plenty of gourmet specialties always available at BF Mazzia. How about a gift card or a fresh fruit flower arrangement sure to please anyone? BF Mazzia, Chestnut Avenue and Route 9. That's New Road, Northfield. Online at bfmazzio.com or call for your special order, 609-641-6666.
East Coast Roofing and Siding, protecting what you love and own. East Coast Roofing and Siding, trust us with your family and home.
Hi, I'm Larry Styler.
And I'm Sean Styler.
We'd like to remind you that East Coast Roofing, Siding, and Windows is a professional business open year-round and has been serving South Jersey since 1979. It seems, however, that many of you feel sorry for us in the cold and hold off calling until spring, along with everyone else. The truth is, we and our families eat as much in the winter as we do in the summer. So call us now while prices and wait times are at their lowest and learn how great financing plans can help you. And please don't feel bad. We have long johns and we'll wear them. So call 646-1444 or visit us online at eastcoastroofing.com.
If you'll call, we'll show up.
East Coast Roofing and Siding. Trust us with your family and home.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Breezy and warmer this afternoon, high 59. Increasing cloudiness tonight, low 35. Cooler with rain tomorrow, high 48. Cloudy with rain and drizzle tomorrow night, low 36. Mainly cloudy on Monday, high 46. I'm AccuWeather's Jonathan Reed on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Back here on Talk With a Purpose again, our Fighting the Opioid Addiction series. If for any reason, again, I suggest you write this number down. You need this number. 1-800-RECOVERY. 1-800-RECOVERY. That is the number for Recovery Centers of America. 24/7 hotline. And, you know, maybe you're like on the fence. You think you need something or you need some help or you know someone. That's even better. If you know someone, you call them and they'll kind of help you out from there. And I did that once a couple of years ago. And eventually the person did get help from Recovery Centers of America. 1-800-RECOVERY is the number. 1-800-RECOVERY for Recovery Centers of America. Dr. Denny Caris is our guest. She is the Chief Scientific Officer for Recovery Centers of America. And if you have a question for Dr. Denny right now, we have some open lines here in the studio. You can give us a call at 609-407-1450. 609-407-1450. Dr. Denny, we talked earlier about your own recovery. Why do you think you were successful in recovery?
It's interesting. I think that I was successful because when I went to that outpatient center, I immediately felt connected to that therapist. I believed that person could help me. And scientifically, we call it therapeutic alliance. You know, I felt very connected and had a high sense that he could help me quit, which I had been unable to do myself. I got involved in a tight-knit group, a support group, people that met 2-3 times a week to talk about their recovery and getting well. There's meetings all over the country that where people do that, but I got involved in this this group, and there were probably about 35 of us or so that were in our 20s that all kind of did this together. And every Tuesday night and Friday night, we were at this meeting. Then we went to the deli afterwards. Saturday morning at 10 a.m., we were there. We did, you know, recovery dances afterwards. We did so much together. And it was one of those things where, you know, even at times when you did want to pick up a drug or alcohol, you thought, well, what am I going to tell the group, you know? I also got a sponsor, a female mentor who had been in recovery. That was hugely helpful. And then the other thing was I was really almost, I sometimes say almost pathologically driven to go back to school. It was a goal for me. I had dropped out of Temple University and San Francisco State University, and I knew that I wanted to be able to have a career and support myself, and I just was laser focused on going back to school. So I think the goal, in addition to the support and the counseling, were what did it for me.
That sounds really good, but I wanted to ask you, because this is a problem, addiction, whether it's alcohol or drugs, that people, and I have a friend right now who is, I mean, there's no question, he drinks in the morning, I know he's an alcoholic, and will not go to treatment. So, you know, a lot of people, especially listening to this show, are on the fence. What pushes them over the line to say, okay, I'm going to go get help? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my first thought on that is, oddly enough, people don't have to want help for it to work. There was a huge set of studies came out about 8 to 10 years ago that were just stunning, you know, that we always thought, and you always hear it, oh, it's not going to work unless they want it or whatever. You know, motivation at entry to treatment is not a predictor of whether or not it's a success. In fact, many people coerced into treatment do just as well or better. In fact, most people do just as well or better. And the reason for that is that one of the best predictors that somebody will get into recovery is the amount of time they're in treatment. So if there's any, you know, any level of the or way to tell the person, you know, either you need to get treatment or your job, you know, if their job's in jeopardy or if there's a drunk driving charge or anything like that, tends to get people into treatment. And then that's our job, is to transition them over to wanting it. The other piece is this, you know, I often tell people, you know what, why don't you just give us like 90 days? Why don't you quit? You know, if you can do it on your own, great. Go to support groups. Give it 90 days. If in 90 days you don't think your life is better, great. You know, maybe you didn't need to quit. Go back to it. But you know, and then people will routinely fight, you know, well, why can't I just drink once in a while? Why can't I, you know, and eventually it's like, why is this so important to you that you keep drinking? You know,
yeah.
What is it? People fight to be able to have that drink in a way that they wouldn't fight to be able to have that, you know, broccoli or that piece of chocolate. Or, well, chocolate might be different for some people, but, you know, I mean, it is interesting how much people will fight that and how they won't just, you know, give it a try. So to that, I would say, you know, give it a try. You know, if you're not happy, we'll refund your misery.
That's a good one. We'll refund your misery. I like that. Let me ask you this. Is a sign that you're an alcoholic that you drink in the morning, is that a clear sign?
That is a clear sign. If it's actually not drink in the morning, although you're very close. It's drinking upon awakening.
Okay.
Which for most people is the morning. So, but that's just one of the signs. I mean, there's a dozen of them, you know. Are you drinking more than you just want to? You know, are you spending more and more of your time, you know, getting alcohol, drinking alcohol, and recovering from the effects of alcohol? If you stop drinking, do you feel irritable? Do you have any symptoms of withdrawal? Do you need more alcohol to feel the same way that you used to feel? In other words, are you developing tolerance? Is it getting in the way of important social or work obligations? Are you missing work, late to work? Are you missing dinners? Are you missing important family engagements? These are all the things that we look at. And if you have a certain number of these, then you may have a mild, moderate, or severe alcohol use disorder.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. And I was telling you about my friend. He's clearly, to me, he drinks first thing when he gets up. So that's clearly a sign.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, he was pretty bad about a month ago, and I had his neighbor call 911 because he said he didn't want to live anymore. They put him in a psych ward, and then he called me and screamed at me. I said, wait a minute. You're the one that told him you don't want to live anymore. So now he says he stopped, okay? Now, this is January 2nd. His New Year's resolution was to stop, so he stopped for 2 days. So we'll see. But clearly, I guess I was on the right path that he sounds like he's an alcoholic. I just wanted to get your verification on that, you know?
Yeah, drinking upon awakening is a very big deal, actually, because usually it means that they have withdrawal symptoms and they're drinking to stop the withdrawal symptoms. And the reason that's so important is because it also sometimes means that if they stop on their own, they could have really serious withdrawal symptoms. It's very interesting. When you stop using heroin, you're incredibly uncomfortable. I mean, but quitting heroin won't kill you. The withdrawing from heroin will not kill you. Overdose will. Withdrawing from alcohol can kill you. And typically that's because somebody goes into withdrawal and has seizures. So it's interesting if he's drinking first thing in the morning, and he's bad enough that you've noticed all of those things. My guess would be it would be very unlikely that he could quit on his own and not have severe symptoms. So
that's kind of what I thought. It's January 2nd. I'll keep you posted. All right. We're only two days into the new year. But I wanted to ask you, Dr. Denny, just about everybody on the show who has talked about their journey, and you, of course, are included in that. I guess the journeys are different, but if you had to give us one thing that gives a person their best chance for recovery, what would that be?
You know, I mean, I was thinking about this the other day, and as much as there's all these scientific things that predict success best, you know, on a whole, I think the one thing would be just keep trying. Don't give up. You know, if you have a relapse, if you have trouble with it, get help if you need it. You know, it's the old adage, you know, if you fall down 100 times, just get up 101. You know, if this is something where you've got to keep trying different things. You've got to keep looking for different ways to stay motivated and just keep trying. You know, scientifically, the best predictors are the therapeutic alliance I talked about, the time in treatment, family involvement, treating psychiatric disorders concurrently. Those are the best predictors that you will get into recovery. Interestingly enough, the best predictor that you will stay in recovery is if you've developed supports and you not just attend, you know, support groups, but that you participate in them. So it's, you know, those are the best predictors. But I would say for me, it would be just don't give up.
Well, that you know, you say that, and I guess it's difficult to follow that. So I would go back to a question. Any advice to give someone some boost to not give up? Because, you know, we've heard that the person goes into recovery or they go into treatment 7 times. So how do you get that motivation to not give up is really my question.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, I just had a young woman admit to RCA, who had about 5 years, got sober very young, and then she started using again. The interesting thing about, and she had treatment in the past, she had very long-term treatment when she was an adolescent. And one of the things that I think surprised her quite a bit was that the best predictor that she'll do well is that she was able to do it before. You know, the treatment is always always additive for all of diseases. So in other words, you know, you hear all the time, oh, he's been in treatment 7 times, he'll never get it. The fact that he goes in an 8th time means he's even more likely to get it. So it is additive. And there's a lot of people out there who have these minor relapses, or they get into recovery on their own and then they have a relapse. I mean, not giving up would just be recommitting yourself and going into, going back to support groups. It could be going to outpatient. It could mean that you go back to residential care. But, you know, there's 20% of the country is estimated to be in recovery based on a really fine study done out of Harvard. And, you know, I mean, that's 20% of the country that are, frankly, living the dream, you know. Just the benefits of being in recovery are so profound that I would just tell them that they really need to realize that they can have an incredible life, really the life of their dreams. So you know, just keep trying. Don't give up. You know, really, this young woman went into treatment on December maybe 22nd. And I met with her and I said, you know, I want you to know how much I applaud you for wanting and be willing to go into treatment a couple of days before Christmas, knowing you'd be here through the new year. That to me shows that you are incredibly dedicated and committed to getting well.
Dr. Denny, we're coming up on our final break. I want to go back to that story after the break. OK, so just hold that thought. It is Talk with a Purpose every Saturday, 9 till noon, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And I'm John DeMasi, 609-407-1450, our number here. We have a few minutes left if you want to jump in with a question for Dr. Denny, 609-407-1450. Dr. Denny Carice, our guest, Chief Scientific Officer for Recovery Centers of America. We're coming back with some final thoughts with Dr. Denny after these words.
Joe Yakovich is registered with and Securities and Investment Advisory Services are offered through Brokers International Financial Services, LLC, member SIPC. Brokers International Financial Services, LLC is not an affiliated company.
When it comes to you and your family's financial wellness, there are so many things to talk about. We could go on forever. To help guide you along the way, Joe Yakovich has written a book called The Heart of Your Money, Inspiration for Financial Wellness. In the book, Joe talks about longevity, inflation, retirement surprises, and many other topics. For your free copy of The Heart of Your Money, call the office of Joe Yakovich at JML Financial at 856-751-1771 or email Joe at jyakovich@brokersifs.com. And you can listen to Joe Yakovich on Talk with a Purpose, heard Saturdays here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM. For over 37 years, Joe Yakovich has been helping families throughout the area navigate the difficulties of a sound financial plan. You'll find Joe's approach to be different and not just the cookie-cutter methods that are prevalent in today's world. The path to your financial wellness and or retirement starts with a call to Joe Yakovich at JML Financial Group, 856-751-1771, 856-751-1771, or email Joe at jyakovich@brokersifs.com.
East Coast Roofing and Siding, protecting what you love and own. East Coast Roofing and Siding, trust us with your family and home.
Hi, I'm Larry Styler.
And I'm Sean Styler.
We'd like to remind you that East Coast Roofing, Siding, and Windows is a professional business open year-round and has been serving South Jersey since 1979. It seems, however, that many of you feel sorry for us in the cold and hold off calling until spring, along with everyone else. The truth is, we and our families eat as much in the winter as we do in the summer. So call us now while prices and wait times are at their lowest and learn how great financing plans can help you. And please don't feel bad. We have long johns and we'll wear them. So call 646-1444 or visit us online at eastcoastroofing.com.
If you'll call, we'll show up.
East Coast Roofing and Siding. Trust us with your family and home.
Back here on Talk with a Purpose, our guest is Dr. Denny Carice, Chief Scientific Officer for Recovery Centers of America. And again, the number, the 24/7 hotline, 1-800-RECOVERY, 1-800-RECOVERY. Write that number down. You never know. Hopefully you don't need it, but if you do, you think you do. Or if you just simply have a question, 1-800-RECOVERY, 1-800-RECOVERY is the number for Recovery Centers of America. And of course, that's our series here, Fighting the Opioid Addiction, with our partners, Recovery Centers of America, Dr. Denny Carice, our guest. Right before the break, Dr. Denny, you were talking about a young woman who signed up or joined the RCA for treatment like December 22nd. I was going to ask you of a recent success story, and I guess that's a perfect one to start with. I guess she was serious, like you said. You're going in 3 days before Christmas. Obviously, you're serious about recovering. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's people, you know, treatment isn't always comfortable. You know, it's you leave your home, you leave your work if you're working, you know, for the most part. And, you know, to have somebody do it during the holidays when most people are saying things like, well, I'll go right after the new year, or, you know, as soon as we get through the holidays, I'll go, you know, to have somebody go, you know, just before the holidays, particularly a young adult, you know, in their 20s, is really, really remarkable. So I really gave her a lot of credit for doing that.
You know, it was a tough year. I mean, we started the show by saying that 2020 was a tough year. Overdoses are up, addictions are up. I mean, it was really, really a tough year. Could you share with us maybe another success story, somebody who came through in a very difficult year?
Well, you're absolutely right. It was a tough year, and it wasn't just substance use disorders that spiked. You know, every single social problem that we have spiked: domestic violence, child abuse, suicide hotline calls, everything spiked. And so it was a really tough year. And there were a number of people over the year that came into treatment that had some time in recovery, you know, 6 months, 9 months, maybe longer. And I'm thinking of a young man who, you know, went out and relapsed and thought he was using a little bit of cocaine, but it was laced in fentanyl, and he ended up having to be revived. And you know, coming back into treatment after some time in recovery, a lot of people view it as a failure. You know, they failed, they need treatment again. But the reality is that, you know, this can be a chronic and relapsing disorder, and that if you need more treatment, the beauty of it is if you say, hey, I see this, I need more treatment, and you come in and you get that treatment. And this person is back now into, you know, a good and stable recovery after having learned more about the difference in drugs now. I mean, this is not the cocaine or the amphetamines. You know, they've always been, you know, drugs are never great for you, right? But this is not the drugs of the 80s or even the 90s. Almost the majority of cocaine and amphetamine now have fentanyl in them. And fentanyl is the drug, and the analogs of fentanyl, the carfentanil and others, they are deadly. You know, you can go out once to get high on coke and end up overdosing on fentanyl. And we may not be able to bring, you know, everybody back, obviously. But this person did make it back, and he's back, and he's actually also already sponsoring another person to help them to get into recovery. So it has been a very, very tough year in many ways, but it's been filled with people that are committed to getting well and really working on that path, people that are adjusting how they get their support and getting all the meetings online and the support they need and whatnot. And, you know, so this guy is already helping the next person, which is great.
Okay, Dr. Denny, we're kind of coming to the end of our segment. Can you tell us what happens when someone calls 1-800-RECOVERY? Can you kind of give us a brief summary of what happens?
Absolutely. So you call 1-800-RECOVERY. People will talk to you about what the issue is that you're having. They will also ask you, you know, if you have insurance. They will also have another person that will jump kind of in, and they will check your insurance to see exactly what's covered, what the cost of treatment will be for you. You know, I recently had family members call the 1-800-RECOVERY line. So they started and did almost everything they needed to do. They got an interventionist involved. And then we just needed the young woman that I'm talking about that was admitted. She had to call afterwards. So it doesn't have to be the person who has the problem to start the call. You can call and talk about a loved one that has a problem, and we'll get things started and help you to kind of talk to that person and let them know that treatment's available and work them through the issues they're having that might keep them from treatment.
Dr. Denny, as always, a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. We look forward to having you on again in the near future. Dr. Denny Carice, Chief Scientific Officer for Recovery Centers of America. Have a happy new year, Dr. Denny. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. My pleasure.
Thank you. Well, that's going to put the wraps on another edition of Talk with a Purpose. Don't forget, next week we're on at 8 o'clock with Joe Yakovich. We're starting a new program called The Heart of Your Money. It's a financial talk show. So Joe will do his best to help us out with our finances. And then followed by yours truly with Talk with a Purpose. I'm John DeMasi. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Chris Coleman producing And thanks to Dr. Denny Carice for being a guest here on the show. And thanks to you for listening. Have yourself a great week. We'll talk to you next Saturday, 8 a.m. with The Heart of Your Money right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. You take care.
FM and 1450 AM WPGG Atlantic City. WENJ 97.3 HD3 Millville.
We're expecting a big turnout. I'm Pam Pusso, Fox News. That's what Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger told Fox and Friends ahead of next week's Senate runoff elections.
So over 3 million voters have voted. Georgians have voted in this election. We're expecting upwards of 1 million showing up on Tuesday. That's our big focus right now. Make sure we have a great election day.
Three of the four candidates, Senate Republican Kelly Loeffler and Democrats John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, are holding campaign events. Senator David Perdue.